Parashas Vayetze is a parasha that requires maturity. I want to go through the Torah year after year, and go through the parashas year after year, and come out with finishing the parasha of Shtayim Mikvecha Tarum, and learning it with a few of the Mephoreshim. But I'd like to this year go a little bit deeper. It's something that's bothered me all my life, and finally I took the bull by the horns and tried to learn the parasha in a way that's both mature and level-headed through the Midrashim, and come out with a very, very different perspective to how I've learned the parasha all the way through. The Torah gives us an extremely favorable impression of Rachel. Rachel was the one chosen by Yaakov Avinu. She was the one chosen by those people who said she was for Yaakov Avinu. Famous Medrash says that people said that the older one of Rivka is going to go to the older one of Lavan, i.e. Leah will go to Esav, and the older one of younger one of Lavan will go to the younger one of Rivka, which means Rachel will go to Yaakov. And that's known, and it's known the Mephoreshim talk about how Rachel was given simonim by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was fully aware that Lavan will try to pull a fast one over him, and he was fully aware that he'd end up with the wrong wife unless he does something about it. In other words, Yaakov Avinu will be working for 7 years, day and night, the Mephoreshim say. The Medrash brings down, Yaakov Avinu himself said it. And after all that, Lavan, for some from reason or another, is going to switch them. So he gave Rachel simonim. And the simonim, if you really want to know what the simonim were, Hadlokas Neiris, Hafroshas Chala, and Nida. Ooh. Okay, those are the three simonim. That was the simon. It's brought down in the Medrash. Exactly what the depth behind it is. But that was the simonim. Not only was that a simon. In other words, Rachel was forced by her father indirectly to allow Leah to go. In other words, she goes to get her shetel done, and she goes to get her dress done, and she goes to get all the photographer, and she chooses everything. Everything is ready. Invitations are printed. Everything's fantastic. She's ready to go. Her father locks her up. Yeah? And he says, Leah's going instead. The possibility, actually, Leah was forced. How we learn that is something else. But Leah was forced to go. And Leah gets covered up with Rachel's dress, with Rachel's veil. And then Rachel realizes, what's going to happen over here? I've got one choice. And that is not to fool Yaakov. In other words, Leah will come up there and go round and round. Yaakov will say, Simon, I don't know what you're talking about. Simon, I don't know what you're talking about. Charlatan! False! Caught you! Right? And his poor Leah's going to get embarrassed. Or the other alternative is Parsha to give the simonim to Leah. So Rachel gave the simonim to Leah, knowing full well that by doing so, she will be sacrificing her life and destiny for her sister. She did not know that Yaakov was going to marry two sisters. She had no havamina. It was something that was completely beyond imagination. They could marry two sisters, which is really awesome, according to the Torah. How Yaakov actually did, big discussion amongst the Rishonim. Before Matan Torah, not in Eretz Yisrael, it was a big discussion. But she thought, that's it. She is going now to give her simon over to Leah, that she shouldn't be embarrassed. And who's she going to end up marrying? The other brother, Esav. That's what Rachel's willing to do. And the Pasuk says that Rachel got schar. The Pasuk says, Kol Brahma Nishma and Nehi Bechi Samrurim, Rachel Rakal Bneo, Rachel Imenu Council of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu. How can you turn Yidden to Golus? How can you allow them to remain there? I am boss of Adam. I am flesh and blood. And I allow my own sister to take over my husband. You are Rebbein Shleilam. Bekel Mole Rachamim. How can you do such a thing? And Rebbein Shleilam says, you're right. Rachel Vakal Benel, I take it, Mni Kalech Mi Bechi, stop crying, Venaich Min Dimoch, Kesacholu Pulosich. What you've done has schar. The tremendous, tremendous action that you did has ongoing schar. That is Rachel. And Rachel is viewed as supreme, tremendous, unbelievable. But what about Leah? What about Leah? And if you look through the parasha on a regular basis, just push it, just going through the parasha year by year, looking on a kapshutai, Leah does not look good at all. And let's go through the parasha, why that's so. The pasuk says, Ulalovon shtei bonos. Perek Choftes Pasuk Tezayin. Ulavon Shtei Bonois Shem Agdoile Leah V'Shem Haktana Rachel. Lavan had two daughters. The older one was Leah, and the younger one was Rachel. Straight away, the pasuk describes them. Ve'enei Leah Rakois, and the eyes of Leah were Rakois. Lakois, literally tender, red-eyed. Ve'Rachel Hoisa Yifas Toya V'Yifas Mare, and Rachel was beautiful. So the pasuk straight away lays out Leah was this red-eyed girl, and Rachel was a younger, more beautiful girl. Asks Arachaim Hakodesh. Ein royal lisape hakosum gnai hatzedekes im habonim shifte kochas v'shalom. How could it possibly be that a pasuk puts Leah in a bad light? How could it possibly be that a Torah is so careful not even talk about an animal as being tomei? Torah says by an animal that's tomei, says asher nena tohor, that is not tohor. And when it talks about physical beauty, which is very, very important in the Torah, it says Leah was this red-eyed girl and Rachel was beautiful. How can you portray Leah in that light? That's number one. Furthermore, the pasuk says very clearly that Yaakov Vinu knew from the very beginning that Rachel was his wife. And in the most unusual scene, the pasuk says, "Vayihi kashiro Yaakov es Rachel bas Lavan achi imoy, v'esoin Lavan achi imoy." When he saw Rachel coming, v'yigash Yaakov v'yogeles even he removed the Evan, v'yashkes asoyin lovan achi imo, v'yishak Yaakov l'Rachel. Yaakov inu kissed Rachel. V'yisa es koylo v'yeif, and he raised his voice up and he cried. Now this was entirely Ruach HaKodesh. Yaakov inu sees a girl, he's not married to her, gives her a kiss. This is all Ruach HaKodesh. Love shal of Ruach HaKodesh. He completely came consumed, he completely overpowered with Ruach HaKodesh. Incredible. He saw, Yaakov Avinu saw his future. He saw Klal Yisrael being born. He saw what was going to happen with the Batim Mikdosh. He saw what was going to happen with Rachel dying. He saw everything. He mamish saw with Ruach HaKodesh, that's his wife. And that's it. Foregone conclusion, that's it. Rachel is his wife. Bruchnis ubegashmis. And what happens, he works 7 hard years for her. 7 hard years with a boss that is horrendous. Changes everything around again and again. And what happens? After 7 hard years, Leah diddles him. Leah elbows her way into the marriage, and he fools Yaakov Avinu. How can she do such a thing? How can she do it to her own sister? No, even in the worst soap opera, not such a terrible thing happens. A person working 7 years to marry somebody, and she goes along and she forces her way in, potentially somebody else. How can she do such a thing? And quite rightly, the pasuk says, Yaakov didn't like her. The pasuk says, Vayovoi, Vayev Yaakov is Rachel. He loved her, but later on it says, Vayovoi gam el Rachel, Vayev gam es Rachel meleo, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. It says very clearly Rachel was the chosen one. The pasuk carries on, Vayashem ki snu aleo, Leah was hated. In other words, Yaakov Avinu sees clearly where his future is. Rachel sees clearly where her future is, and Leah sees clearly where her future is. What does she do? She elbows in, gets rid of Rachel, fools Yaakov, enters a marriage, all done in a way that is absolutely contrary to MS, contrary to Glatkite, to straight being straight. And what does she do? She becomes one of the Mois. It doesn't seem that Klal Yisrael should begin with this kind of beginning. Why should Klal Yisrael begin, the mother of Kahuna, the mother of Malchus, the mother of most of Klal Yisrael, begin with this falsehood, with this elbowing in on somebody else's rights? What's the idea behind this? Furthermore, it didn't seem like they had a great honeymoon either. The pasuk says, "Vayhi baboiker v'hinehi leo." The next morning, Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he finds Leah's there. Says the Medrash, Omalo. Yaakov Avinu said to her, "My Ramisa Bas Ramor, you swindler, the daughter of a swindler. Lav Belela Havakrina Rachel. Was it not that last night I called you Rachel? Va'at Onisli, and you answered me. Omrulo," so she said back to him, "At Is Sapor de Lesle Talmidim. Is there even a professional hairdresser that doesn't have students?" In other words, you taught me. Did your father not say, "Esav, call out Esav"? V'at honestly, and you answered him, he says, "Yes, I'm Esav." In other words, you taught me, I learned from you. What a way to start a marriage. What a way to start. This is the first day, the night after. You know, beautiful, getting up in the morning, about to make freshly brewed coffee. He comes into the kitchen. There's Leah standing there. Oh, hello. And where's Rachel? Sorry? I married Rachel. No, no, you married me. And Yaakov gives her this brush and she answers back, well, I haven't swindled, I learned from you, you're the swindler. What kind of beginning of a marriage is that? What's going on here? Finally, I mean, Balaturim says, Vayar Hashem kisnu aleo. Listen to this. Vayar Hashem kisnu aleo. Vayar Hashem, yutke vovke, kisnu aleo. Is the sofitev, it's the end of this. It's aleph, hey, yud, hey. Yutke vovke. Right? Vayar Hashem kisnu aleo. Sorry, it's Ehye. Sorry. Aleph, hey, yud, hey. It's Ehye. It's the name of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the story there? Why is Hashem say, Vayar Hashem kisnu aleo, puts his name there? In the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Says the Balaturim, Lefi shechosh de Yaakov, Yaakov suspected her, K'moi shehifkira atzmeloi, just like she made herself hefka, made herself open to the approach of Yaakov, kach hefkira atzmeloi acher. So too, she was perhaps frivolous with other people as well. Therefore, lekach heid haKodesh Baruch Hu shmoi aleho, that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, my name is on Leo. In other words, she is mine. In other words, I give her my name, my heksha, that she is absolutely kosher. Yaakov Avinu suspected her the worst terrible things. So what's going on over here? Here we have a Yaakov Avinu working for Rachel, then Leah comes in, and there's a whole discussion over here, and a bit of a fight, and then Yaakov suspects her. What is going on? What is with this Leah? What's the story over here? Now, it's very clear. It's very clear. Let's see this very carefully over here. Obviously, on a posh pshat, is something it's impossible to understand. Let's understand it a little bit clearer. Rashi brings a medrash. Rashi says, "What's pshat that she was red-eyed?" Says Rashi, "Rakois shohoisa sevura." By the way, Rakois, red-eyed. The Rashbam explains red-eyed as being that's getting about Tosis as well. As Rashbam says, not ois. Red eyes means, rakos means not ois, beautiful. Not red eyes as ugly. It means beautiful. And the Daskin about Tosfos says, it comes from rach v'toiv. Rach v'toiv. Which means it looked very gentle, very beautiful. Rakos does not mean red eyed. Now you imagine the son of this glowing red eyes looking at Yaakov. It wasn't, it was rach v'toiv, it was beautiful. Right? So that's not pshat. So why was she red eyed? Why was she crying? Explains Rashi. She thought, Lalois begorolish le Esav b'chayra, or b'chsa, and she cried. Shohoya hakol oimrim, everyone was saying, Shnei bonan a Rivka, there are two daughters to Rivka, Shnei bonan to Lavan, two sons to Rivka, two daughters to Lavan. Hagdoyle le godol, baktana le kotel. The big one to the godol, and then a small one to the kotel. Now everybody's like, what is this? You got a few old ladies, yes, sitting down in the couch, in this faded couch somewhere, in this velvet couch with their frumpy suits, yeah, with over tea and some herbal tea with biscuits, saying, oh, isn't it lovely shidduch? You know, Rachel's got, Rachel and Leah, two daughters of Lavan, and you've got Rivka's got two sons, Esav to Yaakov, oh, how wonderful! You know, let's make a shidduch. That's almost, and that she's crying about that, sitting there years and years, red-eyed, crying, because that's what they talk about in a social club, before they play bingo. I mean, what's the story here? Is that what she's crying about? Says a Medrash, no. Says a Medrash, look at this. The Medrash doesn't say that. The Medrash says, much, much stronger than that. The Medrash says, Ve'ein elea rakois, shohoyo oimrim kach choyu hatanoim. There's already been tanaim. There's already been an agreement between both families. Hagadol legadol, vaktana lekatan. The older one to the older one, the younger one to that younger one. Which means there's been discussion already. It's not us making up the shidduch. For he said, "Boicha voimere," she'd cry and she would say, "He rotzoi and shle efel begroilish le Esav. Halavai ash not for the girl of Esav." The Omer of Huna says, "Rav Huna, koshi he at tefillah. Look how strong tefillah is. Shabotla es a gzera. That tefillah has a capacity to stop a gzera, to stop a decree." Furthermore, Elosha Kodma Lachiso, that she became before her sister. In other words, this was a decree. This was a gzeira that she should marry Esav. It was a gzeira. It was not two people discussing a shidduch. This is a gzeira that she should marry Esav. And through her tefillah, Not only was she vattled the decree that she shouldn't marry Esau, she actually married Yaakov before she actually, Rachel married Yaakov. Now, listen to this carefully. In other words, this was not anymore a beautiful younger sister marrying Prince Charming, and I'm going to try and elbow my way in there. Chas v'chalila. Chas v'chalila. Leah knew that according to Dinei Shemaim, she should marry Esau. Why? Who knows why? Maybe to do Kirov, who knows? But she wasn't qualified to do a quantum of Roshim. Okay? Otherwise, what's the difference between her and Dina? And Dina got punished. Yaakov got punished for not making Dina. A separate discussion. Okay? But according to the Gzeira was that she was supposed to marry Esau. Okay? Rachel was supposed to marry Yaakov. And she cried, and she cried, Rabbein Shani bin battle this Gzeira. Now, why did she cry? What was so wrong about marrying Esau? Now, Esau, who else married Esau? On the contrary, Esau is clear, was very financially stable. He had a lot of money. You know, you can imagine Yaakov taking Leah in some yeshivish taxi to the Chasna, where Esau had this bright red limousine. Yeah, with Edom, number plates in the front. She could have had it far more luxurious with Esau. Esau was extremely influential. He had 400 men and just a flick of a finger to go out and fight Yaakov. He had a whole army. He had a whole security company behind him. He was a very nice person when he wants to be. Look how he treated Yitzchok. Look how he treated his wives. He treated his wives well. Leah could have had a very comfortable wife. And it was Gezerah from the Shemayim. It was Gezerah. That's how it should have been. And you know what? She probably would have done very well with Esau. Maybe made him a bit frummer, maybe would build this kind of a nice family. Esau built an unbelievable family. You know, that all the malachim came out from Ashkenaz, and all these fantastic malachim. Esau Lamaisa built a huge, wonderful dynasty, as far as he was concerned. And Leah could have been the mother of that dynasty. And she said, you know what? I'm willing to give up everything. I'm willing to give up the security. I'm willing to give up the business. I'm willing to give up the love, just to marry Yaakov. And she knew very clearly that Yaakov is going to hate her for what she did. She knew that she is getting in the way of a marriage that Yaakov and Rachel knew were absolutely made in heaven. And she knew that Yaakov knew that he's supposed to marry Rachel. And you know what? I'm willing, says Leah, to give away everything. To give away the love of my husband. To give away a relationship with a God Lador. And you know what? He shouldn't have tainas on me. He should suspect me and accuse me and everything else. But I am going to build Klal Yisrael. I am going to be the mother of the tribes, whether he likes it or not, because that is my tachlis. That's what I want to do. My whole life is about building Klal Yisrael. And she was willing to give everything up for that. That is Mesiras Nefesh. That is Mesiras Nefesh. Look how Leah, how careful she was about love with Yaakov Avinu. The name she gave her children. Reuven says a pasuk later on. Ki Omro, Ra'a Hashem Ba'oni, Hashem saw how I suffered. Ki Ata Yevani Ishim, maybe my husband now love me. Shimoi. Ki Shoma Hashem, Ki Sinu Anoichi. Hashem heard that I was hated. Yeah, she's so in touch, she's so sensitive to Yaakovina's love and Yaakovina's hate. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Levi, Hapam Yelave Ishim, my husband will follow me, he'll come with me. Oh! You know, and still she's insecure, will my husband leave me or not? The Medrash said Yaakov wanted to divorce her. But now she had children, she's not going to be divorced. Medrash brings it down. And finally, she gave up so much of her life. Finally. When the fourth child Yaakov already realized, wow, what a woman. What a gewaldige woman. Look at how many children she's having. She's building Klal Yisrael more than her chelik. Finally, about a fourth child by Yehuda, she finally gave Shevach, my daughter, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much. Then she felt secure. And she carried on. And she had another two children. And she built up the major part of Klal Yisrael. She built up, the Medrash brings down how the gadlus she had over Rachel. She had Kehunah, she had Malchus. She had all this. That was Leah. Leah, chas v'shalom, is not somebody trying to be jealous of a younger sister. She was somebody who was willing to be mois nefesh her whole life. The wrath of Yaakov Avinu, the wrath of her sister, everything. Although she was so sensitive to Avo, just in order to build Klal Yisrael.
The mois she did.
And she did build Klal Yisrael.
She did get in Rachel's way, though. It might be that she had her, you know, like she wanted to be.
So how did she get into Rachel's way? So the question is, how did she have the guts to do such a thing? How did she dare do it? Okay? How did she manage, how did she dare lie to Yaakov? And what's this whole idea in the whole morning? Just Yaakov, oh, you taught me! I didn't do it, you taught me! What's the idea behind this? So the Duman and Magid says a phenomenal, phenomenal vote. And this is, I mean, the way you look at the parasha after Duman and Magid is completely different to the way you read it before Duman and Magid. It says like this. So look in the parasha, it says, Yitzchok says to Yaakov, suspecting that he's not Yaakov, he says, Who are you? So what does Yaakov say back? Ani Esav Bochirecho. Anoichi Esav Bochirecho. Ask to Duban and Magid, don't say Anoichi Esav Bochirecho. If you want to lie, just say, who are you? Say Esav. I am Esav Yibachir. Is sort of like embellishing the lie. I'm Esav, I'm your Bechoir, I am. Just say Esav. If you want to lie, minimize the lie at least. Don't carry on and say it longer. Ani Esav Bechorecho. Says Duban HaMagid with a moshel. Okay, that was Duban HaMagid, a moshel. Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Okay, Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Shimon, the one who lent the money, went and sold all his debts to Levi. Okay? Sold all his debts to Levi. He went to Levi and said, Levi, you want to buy all my debts for cash? Levi gave along and paid Shimon for all his debts. So now, Levi came along to Reuven and said to Reuven, the one who borrowed money from Shimon, Levi said to Reuven, I'd like some money, please. Says Reuven to Levi, sorry, who are you? So what does Levi say back to him? Levi says, I am Shimon. I'm your debtor. He doesn't need to say, I am Levi who bought the debts from Shimon. I am Shimon. As far as you're concerned, I am Shimon. I'm the one you have to take the money from. You got that? I am Shimon. Says the Duban HaMagid, what happened over here? What happened over here? Yaakov Avinu bought the Bechira from Esav. The Gezerah was in Shemayim that Esav should marry Leah. Yaakov should marry Rachel. The Bechir should marry the older one. The Bechir should marry Esav and the younger one should marry Rachel. What did Yaakov Avinu do? Yaakov Avinu bought the Bechira from Esav. Lying in the Bechira is the status of the older brother as well. In other words, Yaakov Avinu bought the Bechira from Esav. And therefore, when Yitzchak comes along and says to him, who are you? I'm not supposed to be paying my debts to you, Yaakov. I have a debt to Esav as a Bechir. Says Yaakov to Esav, I am Esav the Bechir. In other words, I bought it. I am the Esav the Bechir. Got it? Very straightforward. Therefore, he's not lying over here. As far as you're concerned, I, the one who bought the debts from the fellow who had the debts, Shimon, therefore you, Reuven, owe it to me. Says Yaakov to Yitzchak, I'm not lying. I am Esav the Bechir. I bought the Bechir from Esav.
I'm to you, Esav.
As far as you're concerned, I'm Esav the Bechir. Yeah. You've nothing to worry about. Yeah. Give me the brachas. You want to get to the Bechir? Fine. Mm-hmm. Lying in the Bechir and the brachas was a fact that the older one is the Gezerah min HaShemayim, that the Bechir, the older one, should marry the older one and the younger one to the younger one. But now Yaakov bought the din of the Bechir as well. What he did was he bought Esav's right to Leah. Understand? Karak says Rachel, says Yaakov to Leah on the night of the Chasna, the morning later, what are you doing? Yaakov says to Leah, what are you doing? You lied to me. How can you do such a thing? Says Leah to Yaakov, one second, you taught me something. You said that I am Esav. In other words, you said you're the Bechir. You didn't realize how far the Bechir goes. Bechir goes as well that you've got to marry me as well. Because you have bought over the rights of Esav, which I'm included in those rights. I'm not lying to you. You said, Ani Esav. And therefore I am just learning from you that that's what Bechir includes. If the Bechir includes the brachas, it includes the marriage rites as well. And therefore I learn from you that I'm entitled to you. I'm not lying to you. Chas v'shalom, that's not what I want to do. I just want to be part of what you are. You're the Bechor, so I'm entitled to you. The Pasuk says very clearly, it says an amazing remez, the Pasuk says, if you look at the Pasuk, it says, Vayihi baboike, Vehine hu leo, Vehine hi leo. Yeah? Vayihi baboike, says in the morning, where Yaakovina finds out, it says, Vehine hi leo. How do you spell the he? Hey? How does it normally spell he? Hey, yud, aleph. If you look in the Pasuk, it says, hey, vav, aleph.
Who says that in Torah?
Doesn't. A he is a hey, yud, aleph.
Every hey is hey. In Torah, so, always see.
Very unusual. Hine, he, leah, is hey, vav, aleph. Just with a, no, it's not. Yeah? It's with a chirik. A hine, he, leah. So you read it differently. It says in the Pasuk, the hine, he, which means who and leah is the same thing. In other words, who, Yaakov Avinu, was the same as Leah was. Just like Yaakov Avinu bought the Bechira, Leah was part of that package of the Bechira. Vehine, who Leah? Yaakov is Leah, it's the same thing, they belong to the same package. Chas v'sholom was Leah lying. Chas v'sholom was Leah trying to pull a fast one. Yaakov did not understand how far the Bechira went, and therefore he had to marry Leah as that's part of the Bechira. That's what she understood. And Yaakov, unfortunately, did not understand it all the way till Yehuda came along. Finally, a Pama Yidus Hashem.
So, what do you mean from
the Vehine, it's not Vehine Hilea that she is Leah. Vehine Hu Leah. He has got the same din as Leah. In other words, that Yaakov and Leah, the older, he became like Leah, who's the oldest one, he's also the oldest one. He bought over the rights. So, what's Peshat? That's Peshat in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Kamo Koshut philosoph. How strong is a tefillah that Leah, through her tefillah, she was supposed to be for Esav, supposed to be for the Bechor. Her tefillah made it that Yaakov was able to buy the Bechor from Esav and get the brachas, and that's how her whole life changed, that she could now be married to Yaakov. That's the koyach of tefillah. Her tefillah changed her destiny. It should have been taka that Yaakov should marry Rachel and Esav should marry Leah. But her tefillah made it that she is included in Yaakov. Her whole life she worked, davening from the early stages on. Hashem, do not let me. And everything worked around. The Bechira being sold and Yaakov Vinu doing this and doing that. Just that she should be building Kalis on. That's what she did. That is Leah. A woman who's willing to give up everything. A nice, comfortable life. A ride in a red limousine. Well looked after by Esav. Entering a marriage where there's conflict, knowing her whole life that Yaakov Avinu is going to be competition here. She's so sensitive to that. Her children are called after love and hatred and everything else, are willing to do that just in order to build up Klal Yisrael. That's Leah, and that is who we have to appreciate. But what about Yaakov? What about Yaakov? We can understand somebody hating somebody else. He's snur Leah. Leah was hated, and Yaakov loved her. What's Peshat over here? So first of all, when it says Vayar Elokim Kisnu Leah, the Aruch Haim says the only one in the world that can see that Leah was hated was Rabbeinu Shlomo. Vayar Elokim Kisnu Leah. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could see that Leah was hated. Nobody else could notice. Got it? Not Chas V'Shalom, he was being nasty to her. Vayar Elokim. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could detect that there was any sinner over there. But still, where is a sinner? Because we have the Ramban asks a stira, asks a contradiction, the Pasuk says, beforehand, then he took Leah, and then he took Rachel, Vayovay Gamal Rachel, Vayehav Gam Es Rachel Mileah. And he loved Rachel more than Leah. In other words, who did he love? Both of them. He just loved Rachel more than Leah. So what Peshan the Pasuk said later on, Vayashem Kisnu Leah, Leah is hated. She wasn't hated, she was loved. Just Rachel was loved more. You got the kasha? Listen to this. Anyone who's married should listen to this. Anyone who's not married should certainly listen to this as well. Says at Ramban, he brings it from the Radak. He said, the relationship of a marriage is different to any other relationship. A person can have different friends. He can have friends that he has a good time with. He has friends he learns with. He has friends he tells his sorrows over to. Friends he invites to a wedding. Friends he invites to a kiddush. Friends he goes away on holiday with. He has different layers of friends, and they're all friends. And just because you're very friendly with one friend doesn't necessarily take away from the other friend. We're friends different, on different levels. He said, with a marriage, it's completely different. In a marriage, if you have a wife that you love, but there's any woman you love more, she feels she's hated. Understand that? You can love your wife, but there's one woman I love more, your wife feels hated. If you can have a case where Rachel is loved more than Leah, Leah's loved unbelievably. What didn't she get for anniversary? Unbelievable. The love, the dedication, the affection, the attention, tremendous. But Leah felt that Rachel was loved more, and therefore, snore Leah. Leah felt hated. Yankee, so what are you talking about? I'd hate you. Chas v'shalom. Hashem says no. If you love one woman more than the other woman, that woman feels hated. Very, very important. Chas v'shalom. A wife has got to be, has to be, the focus of a husband's attention. And chas v'shalom, if there's anything more that takes her husband's attention, she feels sanua, and she rightly feels sanua. But says Rav Shimon Schwab, this is scary. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a marriage. He brings out different psukim in Shir HaShirim. Our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a marriage, which means that we can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Ahavto as Hashem Alekecha, we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I love you Hashem, I love you with everything. But if I love something more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a soineh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an enemy. And an enemy, it says, for soineh le'eleftoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get back this person for 1,000 generations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't love you, of course I love you. I just love my job more than you. I love my sports more than you. I love my car more than you. But I love you. That's a soineh. This is very, very scary. A person can have a job that they love. A person can have a career that they love. A person can have, you know, a hobby that they love. And it can be, you know, I'm finishing off davening half an hour earlier, straight after Kedusha, because I've got to go out and play with my hobby because I love it more than Rabbeinu Shleilam. Hashem feels a soineh. Hashem feels like you hate him. And if Hashem feels like you hate him, that's not good. There has to be a feeling. There has to be a feeling that the dedication you have to Kodesh Baruch Hu is greater than the dedication you have for everything else. That takes work. That takes a lot of work. That's one understanding. Yes. Oh, obviously you're supposed to love Hashem more. That's a different kind of relationship completely. That's a different relationship. That's Hashem is a completely different kind of relationship to a wife. But ultimately, the concept of competition between what we love and what we desire with Rabbeinu Shleilam is that conflict can create very, very serious fallout. No, I'm a good Jew. I know I love this, but I love something else as well. If it's more, then you're in big danger. I just want to move on a couple more lessons over here. Unfortunately, I haven't got time to discuss Yaakov too much. I just want to talk about one more thing. The Pasuk says in Perek Lam, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Finally, Rachel has a child. Now, what's finally? Finally means after years and years of waiting for Yaakov Avinu to marry her, giving up her chance, as far as she is concerned, of Yaakov actually marrying her. Yaakov eventually realizes what's going on and does marry her. And then she waits and she suffers and suffers and waits until Yaakov Avinu finally tells her off, it's your problem, not mine, etc., right? And she finally has a child, Yosef. Okay? Says the Pasuk, Patikra Eshmo Yosef Leimur, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Then Hashem, give me another child. But the Pasuk before that says, Vataha Rateled Bein, Vatoime Osaf Elekim Escher Posia. Kodesh Baruch Hu has brought in, has collected in my cherpa, my embarrassment. Says Rashi, Cherposi, Shayisi le cherpo shani akora, that I was in disdain due to the fact that I was childless. For hoya oimrim, and people still mentioned, alai she'ele le chelki al Esav arosha. Since he's childless, Yaakov Avinu eventually throw out, and she'll marry Esav. Va'agoda, says Agoda, this is from the Medrash, kol zman she'ein le isha ben. As long as a woman does not have a child, ein lo bimi litlois sarchino. She has no one to rely to depend her embarrassment upon. Mi sheyesh lo ben toilet boy. When she has a child, she relies on the child. Mi shover kli zeh. The husband comes home and says, "Who smashes kli?" Bencho, not me. It was your son. Mi ochel te einim elu. Who ate these dates? These figs. Bencho, your son. Nobody's saying. I mean, this is almost childish. Yaakovina has a stash of Pringles, right? Comes home with no children. Who ate my Pringles? Who can she say ate your Pringles? You know, oh, I'm sorry, I had this craving, right? But now she has a son. She can say, "Oh, Yosef did it. Oh, Baruch Hashem. That's why fantastic to have a child." You know, a vase broke. Till now, the husband says he thinks he's silly fool breaking my vase. Now I can say, "You know what? I tried my best, but you know, he's impossible. He went over and smashed the vase. Oh, Baruch Hashem, it's all over. No more cherubim." That's what she's thanking Hashem for. Don't thank Hashem for building one and shifte ka, for building after all these years a Yosef who will be the her b'chayr, the tzaddik Yosef. That's what she has aspirations for. Her husband won't blame her for stuff when she comes home. Oh, Baruch Hashem, that's all I need a son for. What's going on over here? Where's the seichel behind this? So many Mepharshim say that she has such appreciation, she even thanked Hashem for that. Even for the small things like that, her dedication to the appreciation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was that she thanked Hashem for everything, including the fact that she won't be blamed for the small little things. That's one Peshat. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says something else. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says something which is very, very deep. It's poshut, but deep. That's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He says that on our ladder of priorities, we would imagine that priority number one for Rachel was to have children and to build up Shifte Kor and to build up a home full of children. That's number one list of priorities. The further down list of priorities is to have, you know, a good relationship with Yaakov Avinu. Says Apostle Kno, Rachel was more concerned about having a sterling relationship with Yaakov Avinu, a completely calm, strong relationship with Yaakov Avinu, more than having children. Shalom Bayis to Rachel was more important to her than bringing up Shifte Kor. Until now, if her husband came home, Yaakov Avinu came home, and some food got eaten which he expected to eat, he would say to her, "Hey, where's my food gone?" Do you think Yaakov Avinu would yell at her? Do you think he'd be upset with her? But there'd be a slighter, smaller nth degree of Shalom Bayis missing. Rachel is devastated. I can't have anything disturbing my Shalom Bayis with Yaakov Avinu. If something will break, she has fulfilled the takas. Why weren't you more careful? Now, she has a child. She can say, "Yaakov Avinu, I didn't do this. My focus now is bringing up your children. If the house is a bit messy, it's because of bringing up your children." Yaakov Avinu won't even have any tithes in her whatsoever on Shalom Bayis. The primary concern of Rachel is to make a home that's secure, to make a home that's absolutely got no holes in. If a person builds a pen for sheep or for cows and wind goes through it and rain starts dripping in, it's no big deal. If you're building a beautiful home and there's one tiny hole in the roof where when it rains it drips in, pling 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 inside a bowl, that is a faulty house. Rachel cannot allow any fault in her house whatsoever. Even if it's the smallest thing of Yaakov Avinu upset with her that something broke. That is the koyach of the Emois. Knowing what a home is. And some people come home and they laugh and they say, "No, my husband, there's nowhere to sit down." And it's real. They come home and their place is such a tip that a husband comes in the house and he's got nowhere to put his hat down. Because the table's smeary, the floor, it's unbelievable. There's 10, 15 coats hanging up there. Maybe he should help to tidy up. And a chanamah. But at the end of the day, the husband comes home after a tough day. And, you know, and the wife says, "You know, whatever. You know, I went to the gym today. I look after myself. Whatever." So my husband has a bit of a problem. But at the end of the day, we bring up kids and we get over these problems. The answer is you don't get over these problems. A little fault in Shalom Bayis is a fault in the Kedusha in the home. And that was what Rachel was very, very careful about. My home's got to be absolutely windproof, stormproof. No storms, no machlokas whatsoever. Shlomo Zalman, when his wife was nifta, it's a time where a husband goes along and asks mechila from a wife. And he says to Shlomo Zalman, "No, but if she wants to ask mechila," he said, "I have nothing to ask mechila for." He says, "Why not? I didn't have one machlokas with my wife." How many people can say that? How many people? But the idea is, you know, if you had one machlokas with your wife, you know, that should not break the record for the future. Stop. but understand that a smallest infringement of Shonen Bias is another hole in the roof of the Kedusha in the home. It's another hole where the rain can get in. And Rachel felt it's more important that than having children. The Shonen Bias is more important than bringing up Shifte Kol. That is what love is all about. That is what Shonen Bias is all about. Leah was willing to give up a whole Shonen Bias, everything, for Ratzon Hashem. In other words, even though how clear she was in her Shonen Bias, how clear and sensitive she was to Ahavo, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, she had a purpose, and that was to build up Klal Yisrael. That was her Mesiris Nefesh. She was willing to sacrifice her whole Mesiris Nefesh, her whole Ahavo, for Ratzon Hashem. Incredible woman. And you see by the results how incredible she was. Rachel didn't have this Mesiris Nefesh. Her Mesiris Nefesh was to be married to Yaakov. Incredible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her a tremendous amount of schar for that. But she was aware on a different level of even where Yaakov loves her and is attached to her, that even the smallest amount of infringement of Shalom Bayis, Chas V'Shalom, is another little tiny crack in the roof that allows the rain in. That she has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu now she has a child. That's not going to happen. And finally, we talked about the idea that Ahavo, loving a wife, and loving Rebbeinu Shloimeh means that if there's anyone you love more, there's sinner there. There's hatred over there. And how careful we've got to be to make sure that this impression is not given over. I just want to say one quick vote, if you don't mind, a little bit late over here, from David Feinstein. Rav David Feinstein says, the son of Rav Moshe, Rav David Feinstein says, why is it, Yaakov was a very shrewd businessman, as you see in his sixth parasha. He changed this and he changed that. He knew exactly how to deal with Lavan. He came out a rich man, you know, despite the fact that Lavan was like that. They said the only thing white about Lavan was his name. Yeah, he was as crooked as they come. And Yaakov came out a very wealthy man. He was fine. Why at the beginning did Yaakov seem such a tattler? Such a, you know, like a simple... He, there it is, working 7 years for Rachel Bitcha Ketana. Rachel, which Rachel? You get another Rachel from the street? No. Rachel Bitcha, you know? Bitcha, your daughter? Yeah, but I've got two daughters. Let's change the names around. No, Ketana, the younger one. Rachel Bitcha Ketana. You got it clear? Yeah? Rachel Bitcha Ketana, 7 years he worked for? Right. Now, worked 7 years. Comes to the chasen night, he's being flipped around. The next morning, comes to Lavan and says, why did you do this? Oh, you know, Lo Eisen came to Kameinu, yeah, we don't do it. It's not a minhag. You got a minhag? Minhagim, right? Minhag, Yanim, same word, letter sometimes. Yeah, there's many halachas, interestingly enough, we learn from Lavan. Fascinating. He was as corrupt and as wicked as it possibly come, but there's many halachas in the Gemara that's actually learnt from Lavan, which is very, very interesting. I'm not getting to that now. Many halachas that are learnt from Lavan. But the Maisa, Lavan's got this minhag, the Oisin came from Komenu. So what does Yaakov say? So what does Lavan say? You don't work for me for another 7 years to marry Leah. Lavan, Leah wasn't the one we were discussing. We were discussing Rachel, and Rachel was the one who was willing to work for 7 years, not Leah. Right? So you want me to marry Rachel? That was your problem, not mine. Yeah? But don't leave me now to marry Rachel for another 7 years. I've done those 7 years. You know what? We've come to a compromise. I'll give you 6 months. Okay? Why didn't he do that? Yeah, another 7 years. Another 7 years of the Godel Hador's life working with sheep. Why? Why? What for? Says the Dovid Feinstein, you know why? Because if he would have said, you know what? Give me for 6 months or a year, then what would Leah have felt? Rachel is willing to work for 7 years. How much is he willing to work for me? 1 year? Look at me. She would have felt upset. Yaakovina says, you know what? I'll work for Rachel 7 years. I'll work for Leah 7 years. He never even wanted Leah. At this time, it was a miscalculation as far as Yaakov was concerned, which, as we discussed beforehand in Dubin Magid, Leah tried to correct him. Right? And he finally realized that later. But at this stage, Yaakovina said, I cannot point out Leah as being wrong. I have my brother-in-law, he lives in Gate City. He's got a heart of gold, and the Gate Yeshiva brought out pictures of different Rabbonim. Yeah, different Rabbonim, and there's different levels. There's Mashkiach, there's Rosh Hashiva, there's Magidei Shir, there's Shoyle Meshiv. So he came to buy some pictures for the house of the Rabbonim. So he bought a picture of every single person who works the Gate Yeshiva. You know, some people want their market share, some people want it. He bought a picture of every single person that was available for sale. He goes, as long as I want this person or that person, as if this person's more choshev than that person. So he bought a picture of every single person. He never put up half of them. But at least when he comes to buying the pictures, you can't say, no, I want this one or not that one. Yaakov is coming along and say, yeah, Rachel 7 years, Leah 6 weeks. What will Leah feel like? I'm willing to give up 7 years of my life. 7 years of my life working for Lavan day and night, just that Leah should not feel second fiddle. That was Yaakov. Snua Leah, chas v'shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it. But Yehav, he loved her. He showed all the ahava to her. We're dealing with her ovois. We're dealing here with her mois. And that is why we can look back and see what a wonderful, beautiful nation these people built up within Klal Yisrael.